Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracol, Peter Montique, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, those of you listening online, as you would have heard. What is happening in Grenada when it comes to finance and within the Ministry of Finance? As you know, there's a lot happening there, and we continue to share with you information about what's happening within the Ministry of Finance every week. And we have today, I will be speaking to Mr. Fitzroy James, Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation. And the topics we'll be looking at today is the introduction of the Public Investment Management System, PIMS, and reform of the Public Sector Investment Program, PSIP. He is in the studio with me, and we'll be talking. I have a couple of questions for him and clarity, and I'm sure you'll have a better understanding of these two departments by the time we are finished. We take a break, we come right back, and I continue my discussion here with Mr. Fitzroy James, Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs, backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back, and thank you for being with me today as we share together. Welcome, Ms. Fitzroy, to Inside Finance.
Thank you very much. Good day to you, Pastor Simon, and good day also to all of your listeners to your regular weekly program. It's good to be back.
Well, it's good to be back because you were here before sharing with us, and at least it's quite a while you have not been on this program.
Yeah, I think it was last year. I think it was in 2014.
Yeah.
October 2014. A lot has been happening since then.
A whole lot has happened, and I'm sure you have a lot of information for us. But how have you been doing, though?
Oh, quite well, quite well. It's been challenging, but we're making significant progress.
The last time we were here, we talked about looking at the new regime that was coming in, the structural adjustment, and looking at the whole climax of how that would affect the whole ministry and the government. How has that been going?
Well, very, very good. In fact, the public sector investment program is one of the key components of the whole structural reform program. The reform program is basically focused on putting in place, you know, measures to ensure that public resources are properly utilized and that they are targeted in areas that would create the greatest impact from a development perspective. And this is where we in the Ministry of Economic Development, that's one of our responsibilities to ensure that we can, one, identify those resources, and that the resources that we bring to the table are resources that would really create direct development impact.
Mm-hmm. So, as we look at where we are, and we need some explanation, and for me to have an understanding. Now, explain to me, what is the purpose of the Public Investment Management System, PIMS, and the Public Sector Investment Program, which is PSIP? I do not know, I'm sure, as my listeners, anything about these things. So help us to understand what it is.
Sometimes, you know, we like to use the acronym sometimes to shorten things. You say the PIMS and the PSIP.
Right.
So some people simply hear about the PSIP, you hear about the PIMS. Essentially, very simply put, these are the development and resource allocation tools. That's basically what they are. Now, the PIMS is really an information system, Public Investment Management Information System, as its name suggests. And the PIMS actually supports the Public Sector Investment Program. The information that is really required for the development of the PSIP is embodied within the public information management system. And I'll go into some more details as to the type of information that will be contained inside there. But essentially is that it assists us in basically the management of, first of all, the PSIP and the project bank. We have also what we call a project bank.
Okay, so what is the project bank?
Okay, the project bank is simply a repository of all the various project concepts that have come from the various government departments, government agencies, development partners. These are projects for which are still in what we call the concept stage. Those projects have not yet been fully appraised. You know, we have to appraise our projects. The whole process of developing the PSIP, I will deal with this a little bit more, is to ensure that they are aligned to the government priorities, to ensure that there are resources that can adequately be sourced to implement those projects, and that it fits within the type of resources that the government would have available to it at this time. Funds. And if there are funds, is the funds available in the form that could actually be accessed by the government at that point? So at that stage, the project remains in what we call a bank, and it is waiting for appraisal. And I'll go through the PSIP. In the PSIP process, you'll be looking at government priorities. We'll be looking at aligning our various projects in terms of the thematic areas that we have under the growth and poverty reduction strategy. We have other filters that we would build into the system such that we can review those projects and to make sure that we properly allocate the limited available resources that we have available to us. It is through this PSIP process that the Ministry of Economic Development will appraise all projects that are submitted for developed by the various ministries, departments, and statutory bodies, etc. And the appraisal will check whether the project conforms to the government priorities within the national development strategies and other national commitments. For projects to get into the budget, it must go through the process.
So you become like a holding company that look at all that happening within government when it comes to project and decide what go where and what get the priority in terms of execution.
Essentially, it's like that, because what we have to look at is what is the government development priorities? What are the key areas that the government will want to see resources allocated to and that could create the greatest impact? And what are the areas that the government would need to have those impact? So we look at those projects in that context. Now, the projects themselves would originate from the various ministries. But when we review those projects, we have to ensure that they are aligned with the government's policies.
And budget.
Well, the budget component, essentially, in looking at the project, you look at the structure of the financing that you're able to secure for that project.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the sort of, do an economic analysis of that project. And if that project essentially can create value added, then you would look to see the type of financing that is available. Can we support that type of financing at the stage in the project itself?
Okay. So for the listener there, I just want to pull this all together and simplify it. We're talking about the public investment management system and the public sector investment program. Those two put together, project government is envisioning to do or to execute. These two companies or department is responsible for ensuring these projects are vetted and executed.
Of course. We're involved essentially, in fact, from the very conceptualization stage of the projects, we become involved. We're involved at the conception stage, more or less to work with the various line ministries in identifying potential projects. We're also involved in the appraisals of those projects, and finally in the implementation and what we call ex post evaluation of those projects. Because even after projects completed, you want to see what has that project really been effective. We talk about projects. Sometimes people don't really understand what projects really mean. And let me just give a quick definition.
Right.
Really, you see, a project is a temporary set of activities which are undertaken to create a unique product. And when there are certain key factors we need to take into consideration, some keywords. First of all, a project is temporary. That is, it have a lifespan. That is, a project cannot be going on forever. As you would know, you start a project, there is a time frame within which that project has to be executed. The second thing is that the project must create a unique set of products. That is, it must be unique in that those particular the activities that you undertake should give you a desired outcome. There is a specific result that you want. There are certain goals that you have, outcomes and targets that you set to yourself. So this essentially, so in look at projects, we look at investment activities that are actually carried out through projects. And those projects, you must have an outcome that you're looking for, and the outcomes must be aligned with the
goal. Right. So then explain to us of the PIMS and the PSIP, and I repeat, which is the Public Investment Management System and the Public Sector Investment Program.
Okay, before I go into the actual benefits, I just want to give a quick background, right? First of all, you may recall that in 2015, those legislation included the Public Financial Management Act, that the PFM Act, the Public Debt Management Act, and the Fiscal Responsibility Law. These were three big fiscal instruments, which are basically to guide us through this whole structural adjustment program. Now, these legislation are really designed to regulate the preparation and execution of the government's budget, and also to ensure proper financial management and control of public sector resources, and finally to prescribe the responsibilities of the various persons that are involved in that process. Now, the regulations coming out from the PFM Act specifically sets up the public sector investment program. It's a specific public sector investment, a reporting procedure for the public sector investment program. So there are very clear guidelines as to how the public sector investment program is expected to operate. In addition, one of the features that this new legislation brought in was more or less to have what we call a multi-year program, not only for 1 year. Sometimes previously we had a budget for only 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It provides for a multi-year, in this case a three-year investment program. So within the PSIP, what you'll see will be projects that the government plans to implement starting from year 1, 2, 3. So you have an idea as to what is going to be coming next and what is going to be coming the following year. You would have two sets of projects. You'd have those projects that are in the pipeline. These are projects for which the funding has not been fully secured as yet, but which Cabinet has approved. What is Cabinet is saying that these projects are projects which we are satisfied can contribute to the development of the country, and they look at certain criteria for mobilizing financing. Given our fiscal situation, we'd have to look at issues in relation to what are the terms of the financing. Our preference, obviously, is for grants, concessionary financing, or a combination of both. And finally, the concessionary loans. And we also, in engaging our development partners, you look for whatever support they can give in technical assistance, in terms of even in terms of grants or same concessionary loans.
So again, so that department is responsible for making that happen.
Yes.
Right.
One of our key responsibilities, in fact, that's one of our really key responsibilities, actually engaging the funding sources.
Finding resources.
Finding the right resources.
Right.
And also ensuring that the resources are applied in a manner that will be most beneficial to the country. Because sometimes what you may find happen, we have to fully understand our own development priorities. And we look for what they call country ownership. Rather than your development being driven by external priorities, we have to ensure that in negotiating our funding arrangement, that the country priorities are always taken in, given the highest priority. So you have to say, okay, for example, if the funding source may say, okay, the funds might be have to be applied in this way, we will need to put forward an argument to show that if it is done in this way, it would have a greater impact for the country, because each country has its own unique circumstances. You cannot just simply take what works in one part of the world and to impose it on a very important component of the negotiations, especially in the case of concessionary loans, because remember, concessionary loans, you have to pay it back. So if you, in implementing the project, you do not have the development outcome you expected, it means that you will be paying back, and you're paying for the financing, we're asking for the best terms. We also want it on our terms. That is the terms that would create the greatest benefit for the country as a whole.
Okay.
Let me come on to the benefits.
Well, yeah, because you stayed a bit long on that, so I have to take a break and we come back. We have just about 12 minutes to go through the rest. Let me just let my listeners know. I'm speaking to Mr. Fitzroy James, Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation. I'm Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. We take a break. We come right back and I continue my discussion here with him. Inside Finance. We'll be right back.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs, backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Are you in need of a place to worship, fellowship, to love and experience the power of God through His preached word? The members of the St. George's Baptist Church on the Springs Belmont Road invites you to come and be blessed. Come and worship. Come and praise. Come and give thanks. Every Sunday, the members of the St. George's Baptist Church on the Springs Belmont Road await your visit.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. You're listening to Inside Finance. Mr. Fitzroy James, Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation. We're talking the public investment. Now, Mr. Fitzroy, as we were going just before the break, you were going to explain to us what are the benefits of those two systems.
Okay, let me just be precise with regard to the benefits. One is improved efficiency in public expenditure management system. That is critical.
All have been working at.
Of course, this is, we have in, even while we are designing the system, we have already started to put in place the mechanisms for ensure that that this type of efficiency is built in. We're also looking for alignment between resource allocation and policy goals. Again, there is a process, and there is accountability at each of the process we look at just now. We look at the whole issue of the management of the public debt. This has been a critical issue. So
big issue.
Very, very big issue. So managing the public debt, so all of our appraisal of project, appraisal of the debt implication of those projects are extremely critical. And sometimes, even with regard to grants, you have to be look at it very carefully because grants sometimes you may require certain projects to come on stream. Conditions precedent.
Okay.
There are certain conditions precedent, and usually whatever
condition. So you may have a grant and it may not be good for you, although you're getting the money free, but it may not be the right timing.
Or you may not be able to mobilize the resources for you to be able to access the grant. Take, for example, relocation of people. If a particular grant project is to be implemented at a significant cost to government, it may also have social and other implications. So those are factors which you have to look at. It could have implications for the public debt. This is just one case. It also is a framework for mobilization of resources from external agencies, because the public sector investment program is reviewed by all the development partners, and they will see where you're allocating your resources, and they'll identify gaps. And based on the gaps, you could now negotiate how you can really come in. You also see areas for synergies where one or two projects can come together and create greater benefits. And the fact that one project has started, you may probably start one project and it acts like a catalyst to move 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other projects forward. So the program is reviewed by our development partners in that regard. And it also sends signals to the business sector. The business sector, when they realize the government has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 persons in the, especially capital projects involving infrastructure, you know, these are the areas that are coming up. So you could start planning your own business based on what the government plans to do.
Okay. Now, that means then there is an outline. So outline for us the process for development. And who's involved in this process? You think about the process that you have, but who isn't?
You have the issue of project identification. Project identification will usually come from the ministries or from the donor agencies or from the development partners or from other government agencies. Now, once the line ministries have developed a project concept, the project concept will now be sent to the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation. At this stage, it's just a concept. And it enters this is where it enters the bank. So this bank is our repository of all the project concepts that will come forward.
So all the projects come into this pool.
And it's recorded inside. There are certain specific information content which the project concept would have to bring to the table. And it's based on that project content, now we will do what we call the appraisal of the project to ensure that it's aligned, that the figures are correct, that the projections in terms of economic and financial benefits are realistic, and that there is sufficient information. Everything has to be evidence-based. Now, there is sufficient information to verify the accuracy of what is provided. After it is appraised, well, two things could happen. One, if it's not satisfactory, you send it back. If it's a project that is totally off, you said, look, let's take it off. if it's a project that simply needs some modification and to rebuild, you send
and
it back.
Clarity.
You rework it, and then it stays in the bank. Mm. The next stage, after the economic and technical, and this is where we say accountability comes in, because economic and technical cannot operate on its own. There is what they call the Act provides what they call a priority and planning consultative committee, which is made up from the cabinet secretary and permanent secretaries in all the ministry. So we now have to take these projects and bring it to this committee and convince them that this project meets the various criteria and it is a project that is desirable for the country. That committee will then review that project and decide whether or not it should enter into the PSIP pipeline or not. If it's not satisfactory, they send it back to us again. So, and then we'll have to go back to the ministries to update and revise the project.
So it's not a case when the Prime Minister announced a project, it means it have gone through all these processes before he announced it.
The development of a medium-sized, even small project sometimes takes over 18 months. The whole development project process from concept stage to, let's say, boots on the ground. Well, to boots on the ground, it will take about 2 years.
So all that process happened behind the scene before the Prime Minister come on the television or radio and said, we are announcing this project. You have gone through all these processes to get it to that point.
When that announcement is made, a significant amount of work has gone in already. Like, you know, as in building, the foundation sometimes takes a lot of time.
Yes.
And if that foundation isn't done properly, even what the structure you put on top is likely to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So this two phase, the identification appraisal phase, is like laying the foundation for those projects to come ahead. And what is good to note is that even after it has got a significant work has gone into the appraisal, if you recognize that this project really and truly does not satisfy the requirement, it could be rejected. So you could find you come to a stage where a significant amount of resources were put in, and you may have to say, look, it does not make sense proceeding, or let's proceed in another way. So that appraisal committee now would appraise the project, and if it is desirable, then they would say, okay, it enters the pipeline, and at that stage, it would be recommended to cabinet. Because before it can get into the budget, it must be approved. In fact, to be confirmed in the pipeline, cabinet has to approve those projects. So when cabinet approves it, cabinet is basically saying to you, yes, this project meets all the government national requirement. You can now go outside and start mobilizing financing for it if you have not yet identified the financing. So you have a mandate now. Prior to that, you don't have a mandate to negotiate yet.
Until cabinet give you the mandate.
At that stage, cabinet gives you the mandate. If there were indications of support, you can now confirm your interest and your willingness to start negotiations of the final arrangement for the financing. So this is now, once this approval has been approved by cabinet, you have that mandate to really move forward. The next stage is the budget. And what you're saying essentially is that once any project that gets into the budget must have passed through the PSIP process. That is, project should not simply appear in the budget without having gone through that intensive process. And once that process is completed, now the budget process now would have to look at, there are certain limits that the government has to operate within. And then the cabinet committee and the budget committee would then look at the resources that they have available and to decide which of the PSIP projects they can handle at this stage and how much funds could be allocated for those projects.
Okay, so at that point, it brings us to the point where the project pretty much is ready to go because you're going and look for the funding.
It must have funding before you can get to the budget.
It must have funding.
The funding must be identified before you can get into the budget. So even if you have a very good project in the PSIP pipeline, and you have not firm evidence of the financing, it cannot get into the budget.
Okay.
So once you get the firmly identified and there is not necessarily that the agreement has been signed as yet, but they confirmed that let's take for example the World Bank, they have already expressed an interest and indication in writing that they are prepared to finance this project, but it would probably have to finally go to the board of directors. But at that stage, you're almost sure. So you can actually enter it into the budget at that stage.
Now, I don't have much time left. So I want to go to the final question I have. And helping us to bring some clarity. We only have about 3 minutes left. Now, what are some of the source of financing that government is targeting for the public investment management system? And what is the current status of these initiatives?
Okay, as I said at the beginning, basically we're looking for grants, first and foremost, to finance our capital development. Obviously, I mean, given our current fiscal space that we have, grants would be the preferred. So in developing most of our projects, we develop them in a way that they can target the different sources that cater to grants in areas where grant financing is available. outside of grants, we look at concessionary loans, that is loans at very low interest rates with long repayment term. And then we also look at public-private partnerships and technical assistance. So talk about some of the sources that we have. There are some clearly identified areas where there is strong potential for grant resources. The most recent we have is the Green Climate Fund. That's the climate financing. There is a significant amount of development financing available for works that could show related to climate change. And almost every project that we undertake, there is some element where it could be impacted by either climate change adaptation or mitigation. So we build our projects to be able to address those, to be able to access the funds that are available there. We've been hearing about the $100 billion that's available under the Green Climate Fund, which was the recently signed COP agreement, in Paris agreement.
Right.
And we have started to prepare ourselves. We have established what they call a national designated authority, which is the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation. We're in the process of establishing what we call a national implementing entity. That is the entity through which the projects will go through. And engaging the fund in dialogue, we've actually started, even before we have the national implementing entity established, we've actually started preparing our first project for submission to the fund. And this, we're looking essentially for grant funding in this arrangement. There's another funding, which you call the Adaptation Fund. Recently, the Caribbean Development Bank was accredited as an agency through which the fund can be accessed. We are talking to the CDB about accessing that funds, again, grant funds. We recently heard about the UK Infrastructure Fund, where the Prime Minister of the UK passed through Grenada and indicated this funding instrument of £300 million that would be available to the region. Again, Grenada would be a major beneficiary under this program. We are in the process now of developing the project concepts. There would be over $33 million that would be available to Grenada as grants for developing, for climate proofing, building climate resilience into our infrastructure. So we're currently putting those project concepts, and the program for Grenada should be launched sometime very soon. In fact, we expect it probably before the end of April or early in May. We have the Global Environmental Fund, which we are already accessing, and we want to start accessing the fund to a greater extent. And obviously, we have our development partners, the Multilateral Development Bank. We work very closely with the World Bank, and we work with the CDB, and obviously our bilateral partners. We engage them as much as possible in the process.
As you realize for the first time, there's quite a lot, and I know that you have a lot to talk about, but we always are limited with time. But I think it was important for you to share from me, because even for me now, okay, I have a better understanding of how the project works. It means that you don't wake up tomorrow and the government come, the prime ministers come and announce, well, you're doing a project. There is a process that it goes through, including cabinet and whatever, but also you sourcing the funding, which is critical and important. Thank you so much for coming on Inside Finance today.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks. You have been listening to Mr. Fitzroy James, Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation, the introduction of the Public Investment Management System and the Public Sector Investment Program. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for joining us today. Join me here next week at the same time as we do this all over again. Go to the website sgbcgrenada.com. This program is uploaded there. Also, it is uploaded on the cloud. Just type in SGBC or go to the government website, Ministry of Finance, and this program will be uploaded there. Thank you so much for joining us today. We want to wish you a very blessed and fulfilling day. Join me here next week again where we do this all over again. Have a very blessed and enjoyable week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.